Hello and welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and my pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome back to all you regular listeners. I'm so thankful that you are here. I love being on this journey with you. I love looking at the little dashboard every so often for my podcast and seeing some of those same cities downloading day after day. And some of you I know who you are because you've told me, but some I don't. And I'm so thankful to be on this journey with you. And welcome to anyone who's listening for the first time. I'm so thankful for you. You know, just this morning, of course, I record these a few days usually before they go live, but there were several from all over the U.S. and then Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam and Bavaria, Germany, and I'm missing the name of the city right off, and then somewhere in Argentina, we have friends just from all over who listen, and I'm just so thankful. What a blessing to get to think about God's Word together with you. Oh, the other one was Russia today. And, you know, God is just so gracious, and I just continue to pray that He'll use this in whatever way He sees fit. Please consider sharing this podcast with your friends, family, relatives, neighbors, just anyone who you think may receive a blessing from it. And know that I love to hear from you. I love to hear what God's doing in your life as you spend more time with Him. And also know that I pray for you frequently. I continue to pray that the Lord would draw you closer to Him and give you more of a desire to know Him and His Word, and that you will be intentional and deliberate in making that appointment with Him. Well, our verse for the day for May the 2nd, 2024, comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 5, verse 2, and it reads as follows from the Legacy Standard Bible. Now, let me say this. The way this one is translated, it picks up in the middle of a sentence. Remember, in the original text, there was not punctuation, and so some translators put a punctuation or put a period at the end of verse 1 in chapter 5. Some just refer back, like this one, this group is doing, to what was in verse 1. And in this case, it picks up in the middle of the sentence, but know that we'll go back and get the whole picture with God's help here in a bit. But it reads as follows, through whom, and that's talking about Jesus, also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. Oh, friends, I'm excited for us to park here. You know, I love all the words and all the verses. I tell you that frequently, but I really love Romans. It is just such, oh, there's so much depth. There's so much meat. And we just hear what God has done for us. Of course, that is woven throughout Scripture, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. But the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this letter to the Romans in such a way that it just lays out everything in such a straightforward, methodical way. And I'm so thankful for that. But I'm excited for us to park here and see what we can learn today. Now, as we talked about, Paul wrote this letter, and we know that because at the beginning of this letter, we read these words, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, having been set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was designated as the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we received grace and apostleship for the obedience of faith among all Gentiles for the sake of his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us so much. This is one of the longer greetings of Paul's letters, and we've talked about this before. Some of them, there may just be one, you know, one little sentence. He tells us who he is and that he'll say something like, grace to you and peace, or something like that. But this one is one of those longer ones, and I'm so thankful that he gave us this. You know, he tells us who he is. He gives us his credentials. He tells us that he was called as an apostle. And remember that apostle means that he was appointed to be a messenger. He was appointed directly by the Lord Jesus. And he tells us more about Jesus in this opening, that Jesus was born of the seed of David and was shown as God's son in power. He's talking about those times, I think, when the Lord Jesus, or when God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, listen to him. And also that power of his resurrection, that showed his power. And so I'm just thankful for that. And Paul tells us that it's through him that they had received grace and apostleship. And so he's writing to the believers in Rome. And I just love this letter. Remember that we've talked about with Paul that he was not always on this side. He started out and was a Pharisee. He was a very zealous Jew. He's very religious. And there's a difference between being religious and being a Christ follower and being faithful and knowing that you're saved. Religiosity, or being religious, and the world sometimes doesn't realize this, is just following a set of rules. Just to follow the rules because you think that's what you have to do to be made right and to be justified before God. You could be religious about a lot of things. You can be religious about, you know, exercise or all these different things, what you're going to eat and how you're going to eat it. But faith in Christ, being a follower of Christ, being a believer in Christ, is not a religion. As such, where you say, oh, I've got to do this, this, and that, and I can't do this, that, and the other, and I have to do these things to be made right with God. It's not about our works. It's all based on faith. And if we are walking out what we truly believe, that Jesus is God's son, he came to this earth and walked a sinless life, he lived here fully God, yet fully man, he lived here to die for you and for me because we are sinners and we had a sin debt to pay to a holy God, and Jesus paid it for us on that cross. He was that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, and his blood was spilled for you and for me and for all the world. And then after he died on that cross, he was placed in a tomb, and then on the third day he was resurrected in full bodily form and defeated death and hell and sin in the grave. And because he did that, there is therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in him, for those of us who have believed in him. And that if we believe, not only do we not have condemnation, not only are we not going to hell, but are going to have be able to go to heaven, but we will have life eternal. And be with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit forever in person with him in heaven. That is the good news, and that's the difference, and it's all based on faith. It wasn't on rules, and we're going to talk about that more and more. But Paul had been in that group of religious leaders who were just very set on following rules and had missed the whole point of we have to believe God and trust him and obey him. And Paul had missed that Jesus was this one that he was supposed to be looking for, and he was persecuting Christians. He describes himself as a persecutor, a blasphemer, and an insolent opponent. And then the Lord graciously met him. The Lord Jesus, the resurrected Lord Jesus, graciously met him on that Damascus road, changed his life forever. And Paul then began to share this mystery of the gospel, that everyone who would believe could know salvation, that it was not from following a law, and it wasn't just certain people, ethnic groups. It didn't depend on your genealogy. It didn't depend on who your parents were or how much money you had or if you were slave or free or male or female. It was all based on faith, and it was for anyone who would believe. And we read that after he was saved, after he had that encounter and he was baptized, he went away for a while and then came back and started on these missionary journeys. You can read about his conversion in Acts chapters 9, 22, and 26. If you haven't read one of those in a while, I'd encourage you to go back and do that. But he started on these missionary journeys, and we read a lot about that in Acts, several of these in Acts. And we read that he had wanted to go to Rome to meet with the believers there, but he just hadn't made it yet. And I'm so thankful for the providence of God and God's plan and the leading of the Holy Spirit, because I think about if Paul had went when he wanted to go, would we have had this letter that he wrote to the Romans? You know, Rome was this center of intellectualism and great teaching and thought, and so they would debate different things. And we see just how the Holy Spirit allowed him to lay out the plan of salvation. Sometimes you'll hear the things in Romans that encourage people to be saved as the Romans road, but it's just very methodical. There's just so much here, and he brings up questions that they might have and then answers them and explains it very well. And I just love this, and you cannot study this book enough. Of course, you can't study all of Scripture enough. There is always so much more that the Lord will show you, and the more that you'll be able to see how it all fits together, the more that you study. But I love that. I want you to hear this in chapter 1, verse 13. Paul said, "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may have some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles." So he'd wanted to go, but he didn't, so he hadn't been there yet. Just like when he wrote that letter to the Colossians, he hadn't been and met with that group of believers in Colossae when he wrote that letter. And I'm just thankful for this example. I'm so thankful that God has allowed us to have this, and that it is for us as well, because we know that all Scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable for teaching, correction, reproof, and training in righteousness, that we may be thoroughly equipped. And I just love that. And so Paul goes all the way back and tells us about the holiness of God. You know, we talked about that, and about yesterday, about guarding our steps when we came into the presence of God, and about trying to think more about the holiness of this one who has done so much for us, and to listen to him more and to draw near to him more. But Paul talks about that the wrath of this holy God is going to come against all ungodliness. And then he talks about God's judgment that is righteous, and that he has every right to exact on all people. And then it does, it doesn't come. Righteousness cannot come by the law. And he's going to visit that several times throughout this letter, back and forth. And then he reminds us that no one is righteous. No, what? Not one. All of us have sinned, as we've talked about several times, and fallen short of the glory of God. And then the good news starts to happen. We start to see those glimpses of the good news, and I'm so thankful where he says, "But now, apart from the law," in chapter 3, verse 21, "the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." In other words, the law and the prophets, and when I say the law, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all those books of prophecy were pointing toward this. They bore witness about that this was coming, that Jesus was coming. just like we talked about when we were talking and we were in the law there at the end of April, just a couple of days ago, two or three days ago, when Jesus was having this discussion with the Pharisees. And he told, and they said, oh, we believe in Moses. You know, we follow the writings of Moses. And he said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me because he wrote of me. All of Scripture was pointing toward this good news of Jesus coming. But it says, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. I just love that. And so he is laying out this point by point. And then he gets to chapter 4 and talks about that Abraham was justified by faith before there was law. We spent a lot of time talking about that over and over again. And then it's because that it has always been about faith that we could be right with God all the way back to Abraham, all the way before there was law, even with Noah. Noah found favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he was obedient. It was because he believed God. And so it's because of that, because that's where our justification comes. And when I say justification, I heard someone say, one way to remember that is it's to think of yourself as just as you have never sinned. So in a courtroom, there is nothing that can be brought against you because you have been justified. You are seen as in right standing. And it's not anything of ourselves. It's because what Jesus has done for us. But you get to the end of this chapter 4, all through this 4, and then at the beginning of 5, it says, therefore, because of all these things, having been justified by faith, it's not by following rules, it's not by following the law, it's not by who our ancestry is or how good we are or all the things we've done, it's none of that. It says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we come into His presence, we can have peace. Peace. We know that there is no condemnation if we are in, and this is through Christ. And then here's our verse, through whom, that's through Jesus, we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. So we are justified by faith. It's by faith alone. It is not of our works. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith is that conduit, that way we have to walk to get into that grace, to get that gift. And whom is that faith in? It's in Jesus, and it's in what He's done. It's in the sacrifice that He's made, and that He is God's Son, and He's equal with God, and all the things that we've talked about Him. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. I love this. It's we have been introduced to this grace, this gift, this wonderful mercy and love and forgiveness and redemption and inheritance, that we can be known as God's children, that we can be seen as righteous, not because of we are righteous, because of what Jesus has done. We get that introduction to this grace, this wonderful gift, through faith. It's through believing. And I love, you know, some of the translations that we've had, especially the ESV, I think about it. It says, through Him we have access into this grace in which we now stand. And when you think about that word introduction or that word access, it's introduction to the Father, to the presence of God. And it comes through Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And think about, I guess as I've sat and studied and pondered on this, I think about, like, if you were going to somewhere really fancy, in these princess movies, and they've got someone who makes an introduction, and it says to the king, and it says, "This is so and so from this country," you know, whoever, Prince so and so from this country, making the introductions and being introduced to the king. We have obtained our introduction to this grace, but it came through faith. And grace has a name, and it's Jesus. We have been given that access to be in the presence of God with the other sons and daughters, prince and princesses, all of those. We have been given that introduction through our faith in Him. And it's, oh my gracious, what a blessing that we are introduced to this grace. And it's only by faith, it's not by works. And we can now stand in that grace, in His presence. And so we do not have to shrink back at His coming, like we've talked about, I think, last month or the month before. You know, when He comes that last time to judge, and to bring all of the judgment and all the things that are going to happen in the last day, in that great judgment, we can stand knowing that we are His, that we are saved, that we are protected if we have believed. We can't go do it on anybody else's coattails, though. We can't say, "Well, my family went to church every Sunday. I went to church every Sunday. My family did all these things. My so-and-so was a deacon, and my mama taught Sunday school," and all these different things. No, it's individual. It's an individual decision. It's an individual belief. And then I love that next part, "And we boast." Some translations say we rejoice. We can let everybody know about this hope that we have of the glory of God, of seeing Him, of being part of His family, all of these things. And it's because we have had this introduction into grace by the faith that we have in Him. What a blessing that He would love us, and what a blessing that He would do this for us. I am so thankful. And so, are you excited? Have you thanked Him that you have been introduced to this grace, that you have access to this grace? You know, another way to look at this, I see these different online courses and all different stuff, and they say, you know, pay this money and you'll have lifetime access to this course, or you pay a membership to something and you've got lifetime access, or you've got access for a year, you know, if you paid for it for a year, whatever. But we have access. We have this introduction, being able to go face to face, being able to go to the throne room of God when we need help to find, and we need mercy and grace in our time of need. We can come to Him with anything that we need. He already knows it, so we can do that. But it is because that we have been introduced into this grace by faith. And you know, one more thing, when you think about grace, we think, you know, I've heard it described as, in an acronym, as God's riches at Christ's expense. But also, if you look up that the word in the Greek, it is as it's God leaning toward us. And didn't He do that in Jesus? We can't claw our way or do enough to get there. He came and made a way for us. He leaned to us. He reached down for us. He sent His Son to walk with us. And, oh gracious, all we have to do is believe and accept what He's done. And then we can have that eternal life. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's not of works, so that no one may boast. It is a gift of God. And I'm so thankful that He would allow us that introduction, that grace. And then we can now boast in that we only boast in the cross of Christ and what He's done for us. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.